So April 1st is a showdown for a fair contract. April 1st is a showdown for progressive revenue.
Welcome to the AlderTrack AlderCast, a professional guide to Chicago politics. Each week, we're going to try to tell you what actually happened in Chicago government, what passed, who said what, in their own words, and why it matters. I'm A.D. Quigg.
And I'm Claudia Morell. It's Friday, March 4th, this week.
Supporters of a hike in tobacco prices say it's about protecting black youth, not taxes.
We should not take pride in building an economy, including products that are addictive and harmful.
The Illinois House says members of the Chicago Board of Education should be elected, not appointed by the mayor.
And a pretty quiet week for Cook County commissioners.
Extension and increase on a contract.
But not for board president Tony Preckwinkle.
Well, you're getting accused of something by Anita this afternoon.
Oh, really?
And I'm just
what today?
And we crunched the numbers for last month's fundraising.
But first, let's talk tobacco. A coalition of African-American doctors and religious leaders got together at a Southside hospital this week. Why? To drum up support for Mayor Emanuel's tobacco plan.
Remember, the mayor wants to raise the city's smoking age to 21 and slap new taxes on tobacco products like cigars, little cigars, and chewing tobacco. No more coupons or promotional sales either.
But aldermen blocked that plan. Opponents said it hit small business owners too hard and made the black market sale of tobacco products even bigger. They held a press conference last month.
My name is Jim Basie. I'm a franchisee for 7-Eleven in Chicago. At a place like 7-Eleven, as Alderman Irvin had said, the average cigarette customer purchases $5.35 worth of additional products. Those sales will go somewhere else. They'll go to the borders. As Alderman Garza said, those customers are going to continue to smoke or continue to buy tobacco products. They're going to go somewhere else to get it.
Back to that Southside hospital, the mayor's supporters on the so-called African-American Tobacco Control Leadership Council said those aldermen are playing into big tobacco's hands. Here's Yvette Organ with the Illinois Academy of Physicians.
African-Americans are bearing the brunt of big tobacco's relentless marketing, and our community must take a stand for the health of our young people.
They say studies show African-Americans in Chicago have much higher rates of lung cancer, heart disease, and other tobacco-related diseases compared to other ethnicities.
I'm disappointed when business owners and aldermen say that selling tobacco is good business and therefore good for their ward. I say no. We should not take pride in building an economy, including products that are addictive and harmful.
The full council will get a chance to vote on the plan at the March 16th city council meeting.
Wish to call attention to any other of the resolutions in the consent calendar?
Cook County Board of Commissioners met this week, too. Nothing too major. There was a resolution asking the company that runs the Nabisco factory on the south side to stay in talks with employees there. The company plans to move 600 manufacturing jobs to Mexico. Commissioner Chuy Garcia sponsored it.
This resolution is simply imploring Mondelez and Nabisco to sit and continue to dialogue with the affected workers, many of them residents of Chicago's south and southwest sides and suburban.
Commissioner Richard Boykin says the county should go further since the company got some big tax breaks and incentives from the state.
As many corporations who take advantage of these tax incentives, and then they turn around and they outsource these jobs and close down their manufacturing facilities here in the United States. It's not good corporate citizenship.
Boykin and his fellow commissioner Deborah Sims also introduced a tampon tax ordinance.
This is an item, Madam President, that would provide a feminine hygiene exemption.
And Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle said goodbye to her chief of staff, Tasha Green Cruzat. She's leaving to go work for an education advocacy group, Voices for Illinois Children. She's only been chief of staff for a pretty short span, 8 months, but was deputy chief of staff before that. Rough job.
They're kind of meat grinder jobs. And it's not surprising to me that people don't choose to do them forever.
But reporters cared more about a massive donation Preckwinkle made to her former chief of staff, Kim Fox. She's in a heated and very political race for state's attorney against incumbent Anita Alvarez.
We've made contributions to Kim Fox. It's no secret that I believe that she is the best candidate in the race for state's attorney. I don't know how anybody would be surprised by the fact that I'm supporting her financially. It should be noted, however, that she has about 3,000 donors, so I'm in good company.
We also did some digging into the alderman's fundraising efforts in February.
Southside Alderman Michelle Harris, who's also running for Cook County Circuit Court clerk, brought in about $166,000.
Downtown Alderman Brendan Riley, usually one of the council's biggest fundraisers, trailed far behind in second place, reeling in about $27,000.
A medical marijuana dispensary that got zoning approval to open up shop a few blocks from the Illinois Medical District donated $3,000 to the local alderman, Jason Irvin.
Zoning Board of Appeals approved Custom Strains license to open the medical pot shop at an old car dealership on Western Avenue. Here's Irvin testifying in favor.
I think this is a good location. It takes a building that has been unutilized for the last 5.5 years, brings it back to life. We did meet with the community, and we have no objection to this use at this location.
Now, let's pivot to some CPS news. The Illinois House voted overwhelmingly in favor of an elected school board for Chicago. The plan still needs to get through the Senate.
If it does, the 7 mayor-appointed members of the Board of Education would be replaced with 21 democratically elected representatives.
Mayor Emanuel's against an elected school board, and CPS CEO Forrest Claypool says it won't solve anything. Here he is speaking to reporters at Willa Cather Elementary School in Garfield Park.
I don't think the answer to Chicago Public Schools' financial problems is 21 more politicians. The answer is to end the decades of disinvestment in our education. I mean, Illinois is last in the country in education funding and last in the country in funding low-income children.
Claypool also announced CPS would keep paying their share of the Chicago Teachers Union pension pickup for now. But at a press conference right after Claypool's, CTU president Karen Lewis said she had her doubts.
Unfortunately for us, and as many of you know, CPS has a credibility problem. We do not trust what they say. We only brace ourselves for what they do.
CTU is planning a day of action April 1st over unfair labor practices, Lewis said, but she doesn't know what that day of action will entail. Is it a strike?
We haven't decided. That's something that we're going to have discussions with our members about. We don't know.
Let's just be clear. You're not saying strike. You're saying...
I'm not saying it either, Dorothy.
I'm sorry?
I'm not saying it either.
As for a vote on the elected representative school board in the Senate, she says, why wouldn't it happen?
Republicans voted for it. I mean, there's something interesting going on. This is something that the people of the city of Chicago not only want, they demand it, and they voted for it.
We'll keep an eye on it. For now, thanks for listening to the AlderTrack AlderCast.
Please subscribe to catch us every weekend. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, and WGN Plus, and you can find us on Twitter at AlderTrack.
We also provide in-depth, original reporting about Chicago and Cook County government to our paid subscribers. You can learn more at AlderTrack.com/Chicago. I'm A.D. Quigg.
And I'm Claudia Morell. Tune in next week.